Okay, we're in the Apocalypse of Man study, and we're actually in the section on the soul of man. We've looked at the spirit of man, we're looking at the soul of man. And I'm going to go back up to 4 and just to refresh your memory. We're talking about programming the soul, and from the time a person's born, information has been put into your mind. And obviously, it's in most all cases, there may be an exception somewhere, it's natural information, things that's coming out of the realm of flesh, and little to nothing being programmed coming out of the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit of God I'm talking about especially. So, we're told to renew our minds in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In James 1:21, we're told to receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. So, what I find, I guess I have to put a disclaimer in here. I know I'm not the judge of humanity, okay? God is. But I know I'm not stupid. And we identify ourselves through our conversation, through our lifestyle, through our actions. We demonstrate what's been programmed into us. So it's not hard to see if a person is in the flesh or if they're walking in the Spirit. And so what I've found is very few people really have a true transformation of the soul, of the mind. And I'm finding that not many are all that interested in renewing their mind. They want to be saved from hell. They want to go to heaven, so to speak. But they don't want to live the life here on earth that God is asking us to live, you understand, as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think we as the body of Christ have really grasped this plan of God as the body of Christ. That the body is the representation of God in earth. Now, when we start catching on to this, we'll understand that we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the Lord. But most people live their lives for themselves, not for the Lord. Now, they may do a good deed here and there along the way. But when you just look at the way their lives run, it's this run to please them, and if something is not pleasing to them, they get upset. I said them, not you. Okay? And so that just reveals where we're walking, the arena in which we're walking. Are we walking out of natural thinking? Or are we drawing out of the Spirit? Which nature? Now, I understand we've been delivered. The old nature died when we're born again. But that old nature programmed. And we have to renew our minds so we don't follow that old nature. People confess Jesus as their Savior, but their souls aren't in agreement with the Word of God. Your spirit's born again, your soul isn't. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Word in Romans 12:2, where it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," that word renewing is actually talking about renovation. If you look at the Word, it's renovation. Renovate your mind. That's not birth, is it? A renovation is taking something that's already there and changing it, isn't it? Okay, so we have to get our souls changed to where they think like the nature on the inside of us. Does that make sense? And just this morning, I shared this with the morning class, but this morning, as I was praying, the Lord just dropped this in me, and I wrote it down, is converts know Jesus as Savior. Disciples know Jesus as Lord. Okay? The mentality of the church for many years has been Savior. Save me, not rule me. See the difference? Save me, don't rule me. But the body of Christ will be ruled by the head, Jesus Christ. And so the body of Christ will submit to the lordship of Jesus. That's called kingdom of God. Jesus said to his disciples when they asked him how to pray, come kingdom of God, will of God be done. I know, back when many years ago, I played ball, and before the ball game, the team would get in a huddle and we'd all say the Lord's Prayer. I didn't see the kingdom of God come on that baseball field. If you're with me, it's amazing how we don't even know what we're saying. It's a form that we go through. And what Jesus was saying was not go through a form, not a model prayer, but a petition to God. Come rule in me. If I want God to rule in earth, I need God to rule in me. Because the way God's going to rule in earth is through the body. The body wants Him to rule the sinner. They don't want Him to rule the saint. You with me? So our minds have to get renewed to where, first off, you realize you need to renew it. That's the starting point. To realize that you're not thinking like God thinks. How does God think? Well, read the Bible. That's how God thinks. God thinks in agreement with the Word of God. Your natural mind doesn't. God says, vengeance isn't yours. That's not what the natural mind says. God says, pray for those who despitefully use you. That's not what the natural mind says. Love those who hate you. That's not what the natural mind says. You're just talking to someone this afternoon. Or they were talking to me and sharing some things with me. They had hang up. And we have to get rid of our hang-ups and start looking at people through the eyes of God. How do I do that? In the Spirit, through your new nature. Start looking at things through the new nature, not the old nature. Because if you look at the old nature, you can go in the wrong direction. You don't like the clothes they have on. You don't like the way they wear their hair or the color or all the external things that people are doing to their bodies these days. You have to watch this. Now, I'm certainly not condoning things. Okay? But I'm saying God looks at the heart. The natural mind's not thinking that way, but the Spirit does. So, You start looking in the Spirit. You know, I was out of town this weekend ministering somewhere else, and there was a particular person there, and I've had to repent. looking at externals, and it's amazing how quick you can form an opinion. And the person actually came up to be ministered to. And I had to get clear to where you're sincere in the ministry, okay? And I was surprised how that person pulled. As soon as I touched them, I just started pulling off of the Spirit. Now, I'm saying I missed it. You understand? Because outside didn't meet the religious standard. But God looks at the heart. And all, I don't know, but in that time period, God changed my heart. And I had a real compassion for that person and ended up even talking with them after the service. Because now it's... My whole thinking changed. You know what the difference was? Natural, spiritual. I have to deal with it. You understand? I know I'm in a natural body, and I know that I have to capture thoughts and bring them into the obedience to the Word of God. And I'd like to tell you that I had arrived. But you'd all know that's lying, wouldn't you? But we're working on it. And that's what God wants us to do. As long as you're on this planet Earth, in this body, you will be renewing your mind if you're pursuing God. Because God is so much smarter than we are. In His ways, I mean, they're so superior. Isaiah 55 tells us this, okay? So we have to get our minds thinking like God. Now, have you ever heard the word carnal? Do you know what the word carnal means? It's the Greek word sarkikos, and it means pertaining to the flesh. So when Paul, all through Romans, is talking about carnality, what he's talking about is setting your mind on things of the flesh. Setting your mind on the natural things. The things that the flesh can handle. But he goes on to tell you that that carnal mind is the God's enemy. And here's why. Because the carnal mind is selfish. It thinks of itself. The mind of Christ never thinks of himself. One who's operating with the mind of Christ. Now, just look at this for a minute, and I think you can catch it like this. If Jesus had been thinking about himself, would he have submitted to crucifixion? No. It wasn't about him. It's what Him giving His life to the Father could do for humanity. In that case, giving His life in obedience to the Father, for the Father, which we're the recipients of that. Now, why do we think that's just for Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about crucifixion. I'm talking about giving your life. See, Jesus says, when asked about being a disciple, he said, count the cost. Because if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you have to deny yourself. No more carnality. Take up the cross. That's an instrument of death. In other words, you die to self. Otherwise, Christ can't live. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified. You understand that kills you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me living. Just a few weeks ago, the Lord said to me, I didn't ask you to live for me. No, He said, I don't want you to live for me. He said, I want you to let me live through you. Now, a lot of people, I'm trying to live for the Lord. I'm doing the best I can. No, that's not what He wants. He's wanting us to die so He can live. Now, obviously, this is not talking about physical death. This is talking about death to the self-life, to where God's life can be lived through us, and God will have His attention on needs and meeting needs of people. And this does not agree with sense knowledge. It does not agree with reason. You're telling me to give that money that I've worked for to somebody else. And God would say, that's exactly what I'm telling you today. I've had the Lord to tell me to give the money I had, which was to pay the light bill. Now, I want you to hear me out here because I don't want you to be stupid. I said, God said. Not a presumption. A faith. Because I heard. He told me to give it to a man. So, actually, I was asked to speak at this church, and the Lord told me what to speak on. He told me there was a man in that church. He told me the man. He said, he has a need, and I want you to teach on giving, and I want you to demonstrate. I want you to receive an offering for him, and you be the first to put the money in the plate, and this is what I want you to give. All I had. So, before that service, I went to the pastor and I told him what the Lord had spoken to me. And I said, the Lord has said to receive an offering. Are you okay with that? And he said, yeah. He said, there's a need there. So, we did that. They received an offering. And this is the incredible thing to me, was that offering was the amount of the bill he had to pay. I think it's like $437, odd number. Well, the service was dismissed and getting ready to go home, and this young man came up to me and said, now I'll talk with you. And I knew the guy, but I didn't have any real communication with him. And I said, sure. I sure didn't think he was spiritual. So we stepped out in the hallway. He said, I've never done this before. He said, but I really feel like I'm supposed to give this to you. And he handed me some money. Exactly what I gave in the offering. Okay? I said that to say this. Reason says you are out of your mind, that bill will not get paid, and you're going to hurt your credit. But God said, give. Now, a lot of people have done some foolish things and taken their rent money, their fuel money, oil money, grocery money, and given it away out of presumption. No, God said before you do it. No, God said it. Well, how would I know that? Because you'll know on the inside of you the bill's paid. There won't be anything going through your mind, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? It's done. You're settled. It's done. No worry. I told Sherry what I was going to do before we went to the service. I said, the Lord told me to... I'll tell you one thing. That electric bill better be paid. I said, it's God. No problem. You understand? Difference between the spirit and natural thinking. Now, this is not something that you just do overnight. It's something you learn. You learn. The sheep learned who their shepherd is. You learn to listen. And if you're not sure, then don't do something foolish. If you're not sure, be sure. You with me? Okay. The renewed mind's conformed to think like the Word. It's conformed to follow the leading of the Spirit. And I can tell you the Spirit will lead you away from what reason says is right. Okay? Jesus had the multitudes following him, and he, on one occasion, the disciples said, send them away so they can go get some food. My paraphrase, you feed them. My paraphrase again, are you kidding? They said, well, what do you have? In one case, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, not much. Not for 5,000 people. You with me? Reason tells you that can't happen. Doesn't it? Does not make sense. Bring me 5 loaves and 2 fish for you to feed 5,000 people. Now this interests me. What he did was he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples. You feed them. That's what he told them in the begin with. You feed them. They didn't ask him how. Okay, how do you want us to feed? He let them do the distributing. He did the hard work. He operated in faith. Not that that was hard. You understand where I'm coming from? Okay? When you hear God speak, move. The quicker you move, the more obedient you'll be. The longer you wait, the more often you'll talk yourself out of it. I know. I've talked myself out of things. Just sitting there arguing, your head saying, no. Down here, yeah. Yes, no, yes, no. It's training. This is where the Word of God is so valuable, because the Spirit of God will give you Scripture. You understand? He'll give you Scripture. And then move on what He's telling you. transformation of the soul is actually threefold. We know the soul involves the mind, will, and emotion, right? It was comprised of mind, will, and emotion. Now, the key figure in this is the mind, all right? And when I talk about transformation, transform just simply means to change or convert, okay? You familiar with the transformers? Used to be with trains, now it's people that can be transformed into cars and monsters or whatever, okay? So you know what transform is. Well, transformation of the mind is essential. Your mind needs to be converted. It needs to go through a change. And that conversion is to where it thinks in agreement with the Scriptures. Now, when you get the mind thinking right, you'll will to do right. You with me? Everything you will to do comes from the thought process, doesn't it? You think it first. When you get the mind right, your emotions will be right. Because your emotions are controlled by your thinking. Have you ever had someone to come to you and they want to talk to you and that's emotional, you can't understand them? Now, when that happens, I say, just stop. I can't hear a word you say it. Talk to me. You know what you're doing? You're taking them out of the realm of the emotion into the realm of thinking. Get their thinking changed. Now, you have to communicate. Think about communicating with me. I mean, I can't help you if I don't know. I don't even know what's going on. And some people, some personalities tend to be more expressive in their emotions than others. Every personality has emotions. But some, you know, they can panic. There is no panic button. It's get still and get control. You know, that is fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is fruit of the Spirit. Temperance, as King James. That's fruit of the Spirit. So how am I going to produce that? When do I need to produce that? When it seems like things are out of control. I don't need to be out of control. You have to go into action. And if you get all emotional about it, it can be disastrous. Especially in catastrophic events and things of this nature. Emotional is not what you need. You need to get control of the emotion so you can function properly, effectively. Now, with that said, many people in a church service get so emotional that it's not really effective. No, I'm different. I could get a lot of amens on that, okay? From other ministers, in that when we proclaim or explain whatever we're doing, and if I feel like the Lord wants us to minister, then I'm going to get you thinking, not in the emotion realm. I'm going to get you thinking about what was said. I want you to make a decision off of fact, not feeling. You with me? I have very little response this weekend. But it's not over. I said, think about it. Think about it. Don't just make a quick decision and say, well, I'm going to commit my life to the Lord. He, the one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Sit down and think about it. What did Jesus say? Count the cost. He didn't say, come on, give me a quick decision. Count the cost. See if you can do what you're saying. And one of the people I minister to, I said, now you know this is going to cost you, don't you? When you step out for God and you choose to go all out for God, it's going to cost you relationships. It costs you friends, you understand? Because they don't understand you. What happened to you? What, you've changed. And so it just, they start distancing themselves from you. Okay? Can you handle that? You can if your mind's renewed with the Word of God. You understand? You can if you're thinking right. You can if your soul's saved. You with me? But if you're relying on that sense knowledge, if you're relying on that reason, if you're walking according to the flesh, you won't be able to make that decision. I dare say that most church attenders can make that decision of commitment because it costs them the flesh. One of the hardest things there is to get people to do is commit. I could take you back to Samuel and show you David and show you Saul and show you Israel's army. The leader of the nation wouldn't commit. Nobody in the army would commit. And when David said, I will, I'm talking about Goliath, I'll go up against him, then all the non-committing people said, you're crazy. And they sort of made fun of him. You understand? Especially his blood brothers. Is there not a cause? When you see the cause, you're not important. You understand? When you can realize that the cause is so great and has such ramifications to it, you don't think about you. David was not on his mind when he faced Goliath. Goliath was on his mind when he faced David. He came in flesh. David went in the spirit. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Which one? Spirit will always defeat flesh, if you choose spirit. So we all make the decision. We're constantly making this decision. Will I follow the flesh? Will I follow the spirit? We do it every day. Will I follow the flesh? Will I follow the spirit? And God won't put your arm up behind your back and make you cry uncle, anything like that. It's choice. It's choice. It says it in Micah this way, this is the way, walk in it. In other words, I'll show you the way. But you have to make the decision whether or not you want to walk that path. And it goes back to a broad way, a narrow way. Many find the broad way. Why? It doesn't take commitment. Involvement to get you in the broad way. But don't ask me to risk my life. God's not asking you to risk it. He's asking you to get it. so you can live His. This is not just teaching. I'm telling you that God is calling out and He's making a separation. People that are sold out to God are going to be called out from people that's just playing religious games, attending church, doing stuff, but not being led by the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. We can't do it without being led by the Spirit. You understand? We're not capable. It's just like the law in the Old Testament. It told them what to do, but they weren't capable of doing it because flesh was there, because they thought naturally. Well, when you get over here under the New Covenant, He tells us what to do, but the natural man can't do it. You with me? But the Spirit man in you, that born-again Spirit, can get the job done, united with the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said, I can do all things. I can live good. I can abound. But I can also live abased. That's the context in which he was talking about. What he's saying was, I'm independent of circumstances. As long as I'm following the Spirit, I'm independent of the circumstances. I'm not thinking about, is this pillow too soft? Is this pillow too hard? Is this mattress too soft? Is this mattress too hard? Is the temperature too hot? Is the temperature too cold? Oh, that's flesh. You don't think that. You get your mind on the Lord. And the compassion of the Lord starts operating through you. That's emotion. You get the mind of the Lord, and then your emotion is going to manifest in compassion. Compassion moved Jesus to the people. You with me? My time's up, so I'm going to have to stop here, but you're getting the message, I hope.